turn to the psalm, specifically Psalm 19. And when everyone on this side yelled to those people on that side, listen up. And you tell them the same thing. Listen up. Got your Bibles? Hold them up high. Got your Bibles? Let's see what the good book has to say today. God has been doing what God does for a long time. True? Since before time, God has been doing what God does. The church has been doing what the church is supposed to do for a long time. And here at Valley Christian, we have been doing what we're called to do for a long time. This church is different than it used to be. If you've been around very long, it is different than 15, 20 years ago. If you were here, just the building is different. There was no foyer out there. You came in through that little door right there. If you wore high heels to church, which I never did, but some of you did, you were upset because there was no parking, paved parking, and you ruined your heels. It was just dirt and rocks. Anybody remember those days? Yes. And this room looks a lot different. This church has a great history, this congregation. And many times, even though we are known in the community and have a great history, many times it was wondered if this church would stay alive. There were times that it almost died. But it has been a great adventure, hasn't it? In many ways. There's been ups, there's been downs, there's been people come, people go. But what through all of that is our focus? What has always been, as we studied last week, our priority? God is our priority. It's never been just to get more people, to fill empty chairs. We still have quite a few empty chairs. But our priority has been God and faithful to God. And out of that comes some principles, some priorities as a church that I want to remind you of before we get back to our verse-by-verse study of the book of Galatians soon. There you go, Linda. All right. Last week, we looked at the priority of, let's just see, anybody remember? The priority of God. It's all about God. And before, the week before that, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the source of everything. And because God is the source of everything, then last week, the priority of God. And how that affects your life. If God is your priority, does it affect your life? Every part of your life. If God is our Creator, then He calls the shots. How all of that affects your life and how we as a church do church. About God, let me remind you about three important things. There's a little outline there in your bulletin. First of all, God is light. God is light. Satan is darkness. God wants to call us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God wants to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. God is light. And therefore, God, because He is light, wants to reveal Himself. God wants to show us who He is. Second thing to grab about God is that God has acted. God has made Himself known. And third, God has spoken. God speaks. God has explained His actions. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe as a church and individually that God is light, God has acted, and God has spoken, then we ought to just shut up. You don't have a right to say anything. But we do believe that. And so we have a reason to do what we do. Out of that come some priorities, some convictions. Today we're going to look at the priority of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we hold in our hands Your Word. And we have some strong convictions about this book. And we better have some strong convictions about this book, or we have no right to speak or to be here today. We as a church have some strong convictions that this is your word. Help us understand a little more today what that means and how we've got to take this book into our lives and let it do its work in us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from His pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run His course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Pay close attention to verse 7 through the end. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. For the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his arrows? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Who's in charge? God is in charge. We like our freedom, don't we? We like to do what we want to do. However, we also like the buck to stop somewhere else. We want to be in charge, but we don't want to make the decision. We want someone to give us some answers because we've tried our answers and they sure don't work. And when we disagree, and believe me, we will disagree, who's the authority? My feelings? Well, I feel this and I feel that. Or who is the authority? The one that is the strongest? The strongest survive. Or is it the one who's the most stubborn? No, it's the Word of God. You know, we often say we give great respect to this book. But what does that mean? Really? I mean, do we really believe that we worship this book? I mean, really, it's just paper and ink and maybe a cheap fake leather cover. Do we worship this book? Do we hold it up like it's a magic spell? I'm going to bong you with my word and get you. You know, think about this. The Word of God makes some great claims about itself. Hebrews chapter 4:12. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Have you ever experienced that? Every time you hear the Word of God, it makes you feel just wonderful about yourself. No, it judges you. It corrects you. And what do we read in Psalm 19? It is perfect. It is trustworthy. It is right. It is radiant. It is pure. It is sure. It's more precious than gold. Sweeter than honey. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best, Timothy, to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles this, the word of truth. Do we believe that? That this book is true? Do we have convictions about it? Or is it really just, what do I think and what do you think? Now, since God is light, He's not darkness, He is, wants to reveal Himself. Since God has acted and therefore God has spoken to explain His actions, that leads us to a strong conviction about this book. If you want a big fancy word called the doctrine of Scripture, What do we really believe about this book? How is it a priority in our lives? Well, let me give you a few things to think about this morning. First of all, Scripture is God's Word written. Scripture is God's Word written. It is one thing to have a conviction that God has acted in history, in creation, way in the past. God has acted. It is another to have a strong conviction that God has spoken, inspiring the prophets and the apostles to interpret what God has done. And this book, divine speech, if you want to call it that, God speaking, God has made a way for it to be recorded and explained, written down. Why did God write this book down? Why don't you just come to church and hear what David has to say? Or, Mr. Ed, what do you think? Or Ed Warner, what do you think? Because what Ed thinks, what I think, or even Ted thinks, or even, I'll go so far as to say whatever Mario thinks, doesn't really matter until you find out what God said. Even what I say doesn't matter. It's what God says. And God had it written down. It's universal. For all times, for all peoples, whenever in history, God had a purpose to write it down for them, first century, before the first century, the hearers of God's Word, and for us. What does that tell you about the Word of God? It's fresh. It's new. Have you ever opened the Word of God? Okay, we're doing well. You've opened the Word of God. Have you ever read something and it's as fresh? You've read it before over and over, the same passage. But whoa, where did that come from? It's fresh. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, teaches us, for rebuking. There are times we need to be rebuked. You're off the path. Get back on the path. For teaching, rebuking, correcting, here's how you get back on the path, and training in righteousness. God spoke, and God made a way for it to be written down, to be preserved. Now, we study an old book. We hold up and carry around a really old book. Years ago, I went to a store here in the South Valley, and the lady says, you know, I'm looking for a church. Tell me about your church. I'm looking for a new church. And I said, well, I told her a little bit about our church. She says, now, you're not one of those churches that preaches the Bible, are you? And she said, you know, I'm looking for something a little bit more contemporary. I said, well, I'm not sure you'd be happy because we pull out an old book every week. And it is contemporary. God spoke, not God smoked. If you don't pay attention to the book, you're going to get smoked. But God spoke and made a way for it to be, you know, 2,000 years ago, the latest book you got in these 66 books that make up the Bible is 2,000 years old at the newest, but you can still reach out and know God. And it's true, there's a lot of good books. So-and-so's written a good book. So-and-so's written a good book. There's a lot of testimonies. There's a lot of good commentaries. There's a lot of good devotional books. But listen, if you want to know the facts about the birth and the life and the words and the works and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and God's authoritative explanation of all of that, you'll find it only right here in this book. So our responsibility as a church is not just to give a 21st century testimony, but to be faithful. Listen to me, to be faithful to what God says. The Bible is God's Word written. It is God's own testimony through His eyewitnesses. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. John writes in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we know that the life is referring to Christ. And we proclaim to you this eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and is with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy or our joy complete. This book is unique. You know, it is God's Word written. What is it? God's Word written. And here and only here do we find God's interpretation. What God did, what God does, what God will do, and why He does it. I don't mean this disrespectful, but many of you come from a Catholic background. And I understand that. What is the big difference between Catholicism and non-Catholicism? Is this. In the Catholic Church, they believe that the church has authority over the Bible. You can change it. You can say this is what it really means. The church has authority over the Bible. What do we believe? The Bible is the authority over the church. And so if we're doing something and it's not found, it's not in Scripture, it's against Scripture, we got to change. If we believe something and Scripture says the opposite, what do we have to do? We have to do what the Scripture says. It's God's Word written. That also interprets into our own lives. I don't know how many times people have said to me, well, this isn't one of those times we have to do what the Bible says, is it? Well, it is our authority over us. And whether you believe it or whether you agree with it, it's true. It is God's Word written. Article 20, and I bet some of you read this week. Article 20, Church of England, has 39 articles on the authority of Scripture. How many of you read about that this week? Of course, we don't read that kind of stuff. But I found this very interesting. You know what the Church of England is? The Church of England today, it would be the what church in the United States? Anglican Church. All right? Have you noticed they are in the news because they've changed a lot of things? But this is in their article, number 20, 39 articles on the authority of Scripture, and I quote, "It is not lawful for the church to ordain anything that is contrary to God's Word written." Interesting. Since it is God's Word written, we can't have a casual attitude toward this book. Oh, well, that's what the Bible says, but I think... Well, but times have changed. No, this is God's Word written. Since it is God's Word written, we don't have a casual attitude. What are we handling here? The very words of God. And so I as a teacher, and you as a teacher, are you as a listener, all of us as listeners, we have to do everything we can to study and to apply this book. As a church, that had better be a foundational principle conviction for us. 1 Corinthians 2:13, Paul says, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." And so we don't apologize. This is what the book says. We don't want to make this book boring. That would be a great sin. Well, let's get our pillows out now. We're going to open the Bible. We don't take a casual attitude toward it. This is the very Word of God. And no trouble is too great for us to study this book, to apply this book, and to proclaim this good book to other people. 1 Corinthians 4:1 and 2, Paul says, "As servants of Christ, entrusted with the secret things of God, we must prove faithful." So, how are we doing as a church? Is this a priority to us, this book? God is our priority. God created us. God is our priority. He's the one in the chair, if you were here last week. And so we take this book as a priority. This is the book we study. This is the book we live by. This is God's Word written. Second thing, God still speaks through what He has spoken. Let me say that again. God still speaks through what He has spoken. It is one thing to say God has spoken in the past, but do we believe that God still speaks? Yes, He still speaks. Now, that's misunderstood. People often come up and say, well, God spoke to me. And usually it's about something they think I should do. Well, if God wants me to do that, why didn't God tell me? But are you here, guys, on TV? Well, God said, and it has nothing to do with the Word of God. Yes, God still speaks, but it is primarily through what God has spoken that He is now still speaking. Grab that. God is not dead. God is not just a God who spoke thousands of years ago. God is not silent today. God's voice is not just some faint echo of the distant past. We don't pull out some smelly, old, moldy book you find in the library. Scripture is not just a collection of ancient documents that you go to a museum and look at it under glass. But grab this. The Word of God is living word to living people from a living God. God's Word is God. God is God's Word written, and God still speaks through this book. He still speaks. Living Word to living people. You are living, aren't you? Verify that, will you? Move a little bit. Living Word to living people from a living God. It is contemporary. It is up to date. And the human writers who were carried along, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Bible writers understood and believed that. When they were quoting the Old Testament, what did they say? God says, as the Word of the Lord says, for it stands written. That is present tense. You don't have to be a grammar freak to understand present tense. When is present tense? Now! Present tense. He speaks. An event in the past that continues. God is continuing to speak from what He has spoken. Let me give you a couple illustrations. Turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. And we're not going to look at what it says, but I want you to see the tense of the verb here. Galatians 4, 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. Talking about Abraham and Hagar and all of that story. Why doesn't it say in verse 22, it was written? It says it is written. Present tense. Verse 21, tell me, you want to be under the law, are you not aware what the law says? Present tense. Or how about verse 30? But what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son. What's the point? What does this old book say? Present tense. God still speaks. And if God is speaking, what's our responsibility? Listen! Just here, midterm. This side say to that side, listen up. You say to them, you too, buddy, listen up. If God is still speaking, we got to perk up our ears. Listen up. Let me give you another example. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. So, as the Spirit says, not said, past tense, present tense. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion or in the time of testing in the desert where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. This is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my way, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Talking about the promised land, applying it to us to enter in into heaven. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as is called today. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end with the confidence we had at first. For as it has been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. I want you to notice there are four successive stages in the Word of God. God spoke in the past. Is God still speaking? Was He still speaking first century to the Hebrews? When the book of Hebrews was written, is He still speaking to you? Don't have an unbelieving heart. Don't be stubborn. four stages. First of all, the event. What's the event? The event was the time of testing in the wilderness. They left Egypt. They were wandering around in the wilderness. They began to gripe and complain, and they tested God, and they had hard hearts. First stage, the event. Second, it's quoted verbatim in Psalm 95. Psalm 95 in King David's day. He's saying, you remember what happened in the wilderness? Don't you guys have an unbelieving heart either? God's still speaking. Third stage to the Hebrews in the first century. Don't you have an unbelieving heart? But what's the fourth stage to you and to me? Don't have an unbelieving heart. Don't harden your heart, or you're not going where you think you're going to go. Don't harden your heart against God. You see, Scripture moves with the times. It doesn't change the message, but it moves with the times. It addresses each generation. Is the Scripture still speaking to my generation, us young guys? You know, in our late 20s like us. Right, Bill? Did it speak to my parents' generation? Did it speak to my great-great-great-grandpa's generation? And if the Lord doesn't come back, is it going to speak to my son's generation and my great-grandchildren's generation? It moves with the times. God is still speaking. When we grasp that conviction, that priority of the Word of God, it will protect us from two errors, two big mistakes. One is that God spoke a long time ago, but He has nothing to say today. Big mistake. Second error is God speaks today, but it has nothing to do with this book. It's just whatever you think God said. Mark this down. It is through what God spoke that He still speaks. Dr. James Packer said, having studied the doctrine of Scripture for a generation, the most satisfactory model is to describe it thus. The Bible is God preaching. Think about this. This is the Word of God. It is God's Word written, and God still speaks. So that leads us to a third conviction. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is powerful. Remember Hebrews 4:12. It is like a double-edged sword. It is sharp. It is live. It is living. God not only has spoken, God not only still speaks, but when God speaks, things ought to happen. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And God said, God spoke. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him. Who's the Word? Jesus. When God speaks, things happen. And the Bible not only explains what God did in the past, His actions, but the Bible, catch this, the Bible, God's Word, is action itself. Now's a good time to wake up and say, yeah, man, God's Word is action itself. God speaks. Isaiah 55:11. My word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know, talk is cheap, isn't it? How many words do you utter in a day? If you're a woman, you got this many. If you're a man, you got three, four, right? Your wife says to you, well, say something. I've already run out of my words for the day. And she's got an abundance, right? And sometimes that reverse, you know. Let's not just pick on the women. Magazines full of words. The newspaper, other books, Barnes and Noble, how many words are there? TV, the talking heads. I mean, millions of words that you hear. Little effect. But this book, the words of this book can change your life and can change your eternity. I mean, even in church, there's a lot of talk. Someone described church this way, a bunch of big mouths and shrunken heads. Jesus spoke with authority, and they were amazed. Jesus combined His words with action. He taught, but He also went about doing good and healing. John Stott, who's a pretty famous preacher, commentator, writer said, "The time has come to stop talking and start acting. In particular, let those verbose clergy climb down from their pulpits, roll up their sleeves, and do something productive for a change." What's he saying? I mean, yeah, we got to keep preaching and teaching the message. We got to keep proclaiming and the message of God. But God's Word is powerful. God's Word ought to move us. It's not something we just come and sit here on a bunch of chairs or orange pews and say, "Oh, that's the Word of God." That's... it ought to move us to action. It causes action. What does Paul say in Romans 1:16? "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God." Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. And we've studied this, but just look at, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Is the word of God active? Are you letting it be active in your life? Let me just think about this. When was the last time the Word of God changed your behavior? "Oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I better change. I should be doing that. I better start doing it." When was the last time the Word of God changed your attitudes, your thoughts? "You know, I feel this way." Oh, the Word of God says it. Is it active in your life? Is it producing change? Is it making you more and more like Christ? Remember Hebrews 4:12. It is living. It is alive. It is active. God's Word is powerful. Think of what it can do. It can break stony hearts. It's like fire that burns rubbish. It illumines our dark path. It shines like a lamp on a dark night. It is a mirror that shows us what we are and what we should be. It is a seed causing birth. It is milk causing growth. It is more precious than silver or gold or even platinum. It is wheat that strengthens. It is honey that sweetens. This is the Word of God. Jeremiah 23:29, God says, "Is not my word like fire? And like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces?" Psalm 119:05, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path." You know what James said? It is able to save us by believing this word of God. And so we don't merely listen to the word, we do what it says. We don't want to be like the man, James says, who looks in the mirror and says, "Who's that?" We change with the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1:23. Look at that. Pick it up with verse 22. "Now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply." Anything the Word of God ought to do in our lives from that verse? We ought to love one another deeply. "For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands," how long? "Forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore," chapter 2, verse 1, "because of the word of God," here's what ought to be our response. "Rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted, the Lord is good." Psalm 119:10-11, "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, God." This book is powerful. Will you let it be powerful in your life? Tell that side, listen up. Tell that side, listen up. Will you let the Word of God be powerful in your life? Will you allow it to change your behavior? Will you allow it to change your thoughts and your attitudes? If you're doing something that contradicts this book, will you change? Well, I change. Yeah, but I think, and you know, but it is God's word written. And God still speaks through what He's spoken and is to be powerful. And the reality is this, Hebrews 4:12, it is living, it is active, it penetrates, it judges. Therefore, God's word demands a response. Since it's God's words written and God still speaks and it is powerful, it demands that I respond. I got to get my life in line with this book. I don't know how many times I've had this discussion with people, but this is what the word says. Yeah, but. I don't want to hear about your but. You know, yeah, but. But you don't know. And I do the same thing. We know what the Word of God says. It demands a response. I must come under the authority of this book. It is my manual for living. So as a preacher, as a church, we preach and teach only this book. Only this book. And we pray as we preach, as we teach, as we listen, that we change and come in line under this book. And if there's no change, if there's no coming in line under this book, we're astonished. We're amazed. And it ought to break our hearts. Individually, ourselves, and for one another. I read a story of a preacher who went through the airport security and he had a box. And security said, "What's in the box there, buddy?" And he said, "In this box is dynamite." Well, you know what security did? They opened the box. You know what was in the box? The Word of God. We believe in the explosive power of God's Word. Not because it has some kind of magical power, but because the God who spoke it speaks again and again and again and again. And so what do we do with this book? No casual attitude. It's not just come and look at it on Sunday and then go on. We study this book. We take advantage of these opportunities. You know, when we say Bible study, we ought to be knocking the doors down to get there. We're going to study the Word of God. I want to get my kids to study the Word of God. I got to study the Word of God. They got this and they got that. No casual attitude. And we come and we listen to the Word of God, not because it's me, the preacher, but because we are looking and holding and applying the very precious words of God. It has been said, a deaf church is a dead church. Think about that. A church that holds up the Bible, yay, here's my Bible, but doesn't listen to it and apply it, a deaf church is a dead church. Now, I didn't say that. I stole that from someone else. But I will say this. A deaf Christian is a dead Christian. If I'm not listening to this Word of God and changing my behavior and allowing it to work its power in my life, then I am a dead Christian. A deaf church is a dead church. And so we come on Sundays when we come together or any other time to study the Word of God with an expectation that God is in the chair and I'm hearing from Him. And as I confront it, as I am confronted with the authority of God's Word, I change. And I have greater confidence because of God's promises. And I celebrate God's story. Hold up your Bible. Wave them around real big. You know what you hold in your hands? God's Word. And as you hold in your hands and you read and study this book, you are reminded of God's love for you, the price that He paid for you. You're reminded of God's purpose. You're reminded of living a life that gives God glory and living up to your eternal purpose of giving God glory. Thank God for His Word. Would you bow your heads and let's take some time and reflect on that with the Lord. First of all, would you thank God that He has given us His Word? Would you thank God that He still speaks to you through what He has spoken? And would you surrender your heart to the power of God's Word in your life? Anything I need to change, God? Any way I need to think differently? Any way I need to speak differently? Any way I need to live differently because of what the old book says? Father, we do not worship this book, but we worship the God who wrote it. We want it to work powerfully in our lives. We not only have a conviction that you are God and you are a priority, but what you say is a priority to us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.